The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jim, you know that not a book will be cracked on field day. So that's what my kids are doing
today.
Yeah,
it's a little stressful, though.
I don't think we have finished with my inbox.
What's Scott's Tots?
Has it really been 10 years? Local businessman pledges college tuition to third graders.
Please explain.
I'm
stressful
speechless.
From the standpoint of, like, God, I hope I made it to the next grade. See what I'm saying?
No.
Michael, why did you promise that?
To change lives?
No, Michael, why would you promise that?
You know, okay.
A day in my life.
Third, fourth, fifth across my mind.
In fourth grade, you were worried about making it to fifth?
Yeah.
I fell in love with these kids, so I made them a promise. I told them that if they graduated from high school, I would pay for their college education. I've made some empty promises in my life, but hands down, that was the most generous.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running around, she wants to ride, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans, we sit and count. Our chairs stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running.
There was a bizarro world, alternate universe, where the Green Bay Packers might have been on Hard Knocks this year.
Ooh.
Gabe Neitzel, remind me what the stipulations are for being on Hard Knocks. There's like a coaching thing. There's like a losing record. There's a bunch of stuff that like can triangulate to get a team on Hard Knocks.
So if you have missed the playoffs 2 years in a row and you have not, and you don't have a brand new head coach, you can be forced to do Hard Knocks. So again, it's a tight window of teams because typically when you miss playoffs, you end up firing coaches. But the Packers weren't going to fire Matt LaFleur. So if they would have lost that game to the Bears last year, missed out on the playoffs, I'm pretty confident the Packers would have been on Hard Knocks just because they're...
They might have fired him.
A popular team.
Wait, they would have fired him just to not be on Hard Knocks?
Yeah.
That feels aggressive.
Well, very.
Feels overreactionary.
Yes. Got to protect the brand, though.
Do you? So I think that's what we want to talk about this morning, because there is a sentiment. There are teams out there that don't like Hard Knocks, right? It feels like every time the rotation rolls up and they're about to, you know, they're spinning the roulette wheel and it's about to land on somebody, all of the faces come out and say, like, we would prefer not to. I believe even the team that we are about to discuss at one point said we would prefer not to, and that is the Chicago Bears. Yesterday it was announced that the Chicago Bears will, in fact, be the subject of Hard Knocks for the upcoming season. It will get underway filming probably right up immediately, like right now, and then it will air in August, as it does every single year. And I'm thinking, guys, Hard Knocks isn't as bad as everybody would make it out to be. I mean, just look at what Hard Knocks did for the New York Jets last year with Aaron Rodgers. Look what it has done for the Detroit Lions. Go back, Berman, to when Rex Ryan was on Hard Knocks, and he does the let's go get a GD snack. Come on.
What do you mean, come on?
It's not as bad, but the show's not as good. Used to be so much better.
Why do you think that is?
Because he thinks everything that happened in the past by default is better than anything happening right now.
No, it's so scripted and fake. It's like these reality shows now. It's like
those are all scripted.
Yeah.
Fake. Like he's...
They used to be good. Now they're stupid. Like they're just like they're not watchable. It's like,
is UConn Gold not scripted?
That's a good one.
What about Ice Road Truckers?
But you didn't answer the question about it being scripted or not.
What was I watching? Like now I love X-Men. Great show. Very good. But now they get scripted and it's like, you're not an actor. You're stupid. This is dumb. And I can't watch. Got to be real.
Or you're out.
Right?
I feel like you might be in the minority.
Like Skanks. Skanks. How does anyone watch that garbage?
What? This is your fault.
Come on.
You don't know what Skanks is?
Why do you keep saying
it? Stop saying it.
You cannot.
No.
This is bullshit.
Just so you know, every time you talk about that show,
I thought it's because you didn't know why I call it that.
No, we know why you call it that.
That's not one of the seven words. I live by the seven words.
We've been over this.
Okay,
the
Carlin.
The seven words, George Carlin, was a bit.
Oh, it was?
It was a comedic bit.
So is there a way I could use that word on the radio?
No.
At all.
And for your case, no. You have not earned the privilege of finding the right situation to use the word.
It's so descriptive, though.
No, it's not.
Why can't you just say housewives? Everyone knows housewives.
I didn't know what
it's
you
like,
were talking
it's
about.
It's a universal, worldwide brand.
People loved the word zizzle.
Yeah.
The point where they're using it now.
Correct. It was great.
You understand
Real
the
housewives of whatever county, I condensed it to one word, and it's so much better.
Sure, but you didn't create... So you created the word zizzle. It's on the Chewy words along with glurge, negativity,
yes,
and callbackable. These are the words that you have created. The word that you previously said to describe housewives, you did not invent. That is a word that exists, and you cannot say.
Like, I thought of another one today, you know?
No.
Give it to me. These are made up words.
Has he earned it?
Made up words?
And I say it
you just read
to Ange all the time
so
when
good.
It's, you know, time, you know, at night and you want to go. You just call it a Woodrow Wilson. Another great one. Coded. Remember we had the discussion with our boss?
Yes.
He said the code thing.
Correct.
That is very coded.
Do you remember the conversation
I
with
do.
Our boss?
It's amazing that you were calling this conversation and still said the word you
Moments
said before.
Prior. Three times.
But
three
that's
times
coded.
No, no.
That word is
Listen,
fine.
If you come up with another word for that show that we think is clever and we can use on the radio, we will
spell it backwards. Adopt. I don't have a pen.
Here you
need
go,
need a
bud.
Pen to spell. It's got five letters. Six at the end. Yes.
It was Blammer say. Thursday. Cut me a break here, okay?
All right. He's still getting his legs underneath
Actually,
him. He didn't have a blammer for Thursday.
It's almost a palindrome.
It's very close. Very close. Very close to a palindrome.
I don't have the strength today. Who do we got coming
You know,
up?
You just have to invert. You just have to switch the two middle letters, buddy. The two middle letters. The A and the N.
And then you got what?
Well, I don't know.
It's not a word because there's not enough.
It's almost like snacks, though.
Yeah. You do snakes. You want to call it snakes?
Let's call it snacks. Mine's so much better, though.
It is, but you can't say it on the radio. So by default, it's not.
Did you know that? Did you know
that,
though? That you can't say that on the radio?
Yes, because I've been present for this conversation other times.
Really?
Now, to Gabe's defense, that doesn't always mean the message sticks.
Why I got a little nervous when she brought up Rex Ryan earlier.
GD snack. Oh, ooh, wow, full circle. Anyway, Hard Knocks is good for business. Hard Knocks is going to be good for business for the Chicago Bears. I am a little nervous that all the hype that is already surrounding this Bears team, it's going to be ratcheted way up with Hard Knocks airing this fall. And Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze and Keenan Allen and all of the weapons that they have, to say nothing of all of the other things that the Bears have done over the last few years, Joshy.
Yeah, I think every team just comes out looking like roses. I mean, they... NFL Films does nothing better than a montage scene with some cool music behind it and guys looking like guys, you fall in love with guys that are not like fringe roster guys and think they're great. And by the end of the show, they're not on the team. So to see Roma Dunze, Keenan Allen and DJ Moore catching passes, because they're not going to show Caleb Williams struggling. They're going to show the completions. They're going to show back and forth between the offense and defense, but it's going to be the Caleb Williams show. His star is going to rise. The offense is
They're
going
not
to look.
Show Tua Tagovailoa underthrowing one of his receivers like the Miami Dolphins
Correct.
Social team did a few years back.
Right. Ooh. And there's already like
Jen's Miami Dolphins.
Alex Stroph, KBM Mr. Relevant, he's like become a Bears fan almost. He's so scared of them. And I think by the time it's done, everyone in Packer world is going to be like, oh my God, the Packers are the third best team in the division.
Just think about what Hard Knocks did for Dan Campbell. Like his, when he got hired in uh-huh. Detroit, like, he was a laughingstock.
Bite kneecaps.
Yeah, and he was Man Campbell. Like, he was this dumb meathead jock who had gotten this interim job
Easy.
Down in Miami. It's like if Chewy was a head coach.
Yeah.
But Hard Knocks did a lot of great things for him. Like, if you watched Hard Knocks, like, you walked away from that Lions season going, wait, Do I like Dan Campbell now?
That's what I said. Do I like the Lions now? Am I a Lions fan now? Am I rooting for the Lions to have success now? But, yes, that's what. And it's kind of like what we do on College Game Day, Chew, with the features that I do. We go into every story saying, how can we convince rival fan bases, people that have no reason to root for this kid, this coach, this team, and make them want them to have success? And that's what Hard Knocks does for these teams.
But that's what you get when a team buys into a coach.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, we bought into Holmgren right away. He was mean. We didn't really like him all the time, but we knew it was the best thing for us. And then you go to Ray Rhodes, it's like, yeah, this is fun. We're having fun, but we suck. You know? Guys don't want to suck. Well, some guys want to suck because all they care about is collecting a check. But for the most part,
they
you're
don't
like,
wanna
I want to
suck. They
win.
Just don't mind sucking.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
a difference.
Yeah.
They tolerate it.
I mean, teams will expose themselves. Like, when the Browns season from 2018, like, even NFL films couldn't gussy that up to make that team look functional because I just remember, I mean, the star of that show was their big offensive lineman, who is his gut would move up every time.
So good.
But also, like, their offensive-defensive coordinator yelling at each other during practice, like, you couldn't save that.
Also, J.J. Watt came away looking really bad because he was finding the camera at every instance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's rehabbed his image, but that was probably the low point for him when the Texans were on there.
Just trying too hard in that environment.
The past was the Colts corner that just passed away when he was sitting there and he just got traded and he said, call my grandmother right now.
That was the
Shavonte Davis.
Yeah. He was traded from the Dolphins. Went on to have a good career, but yes,
yeah.
that was tough
to
watch.
That was a weird response, yes. My favorite one was Miami.
I thought they'd gotten away from that stuff, by the way, just as an aside.
The Jets banned it. They said they wouldn't do it.
We'll do what?
Cuts. Showing guys getting cut.
That's so stupid. That is the dumb. There you go. There's fake. It's so dumb. People, don't drink this Kool-Aid. The GM doesn't cut people, okay? He doesn't. He made a 13-year vet. He may do him the courtesy of like, man, thanks, just didn't work out. He's not cutting Joe Schlunk, the 43rd draft pick, you know, for 43rd round draft pick. That's not how it works.
Also,
is for TV.
43 rounds, yes. We're well aware that the draft doesn't go 43 rounds.
Do you remember Aaron Rodgers last season getting out ahead of stuff that was going to air on because he was tipped off of what was going to be shown? And then he went out on, I believe it was McAfee, and was saying, like, I'm going to look bad in this instance, but it's not what it's made out to be. Like, the show has definitely changed. Like, the cut stuff, as hard as it was to watch, that was the intrigue. The guys at the end of the roster who are like, I have nothing, I'm living in a small apartment, and this is my whole life, those are the stories we all care about.
So let me just pull back the curtain again from a storytelling standpoint, because this is obviously what we do on College Game Day all the time, and on SC Featured, and on E60. We give zero editorial control to the subjects. Some people will say, can we see the piece before it airs? Absolutely not. We just can't. I'm sorry. Standard operating procedure. I don't love that Hard Knocks, at least recently, has allowed editorial control, has allowed the Jets, for example, and I think Aaron Rodgers, if I had to guess who was pulling the strings there, to make decisions about what is airing. I don't love. So I don't know that that will extend to the Chicago Bears. I think that was probably an Aaron Rodgers exclusive rule, if I had to guess. But I don't love the idea that the Bears could go to Matt Eberflus, could go to the Hard Knocks people and say, I don't want X, Y, and Z on your show. Because that, to Chewy's point, is what takes the realness out of it.
You think Aaron wasn't initially granted that, and then they just wore him down?
Wasn't initially. Oh, yeah. Aaron wore them down.
Yeah. Like they're like, Aaron, we don't typically do that.
Well,
and then
sure
he just kept coming every day.
You want this shot of me getting my ankles taped, or you want this shot of me, you want the drone following me onto the field? Guess what? It's going to cost you.
But I'm sure they say, no, you can't have a camera in there, or you can't have a camera in there.
Sure.
You know, I'm sure they have that kind of control.
Yeah, because there's certain things you don't want to be shown. Sure. Yes, they do have
like,
some
why,
of that
do they
control.
Show the training room? Because usually that is like
I don't
off
think so.
Limits.
Yeah,
yeah that's
they'll show
off
guys
limits.
Like in a tub or something if they know it's like, you know, after way after practice and it's two guys.
Yeah, two guys just, you know, in a cold tub, you know.
yucking it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shooting the breeze. What a convenient place for us to have this conversation in the ice bath. So I guess the question then is, Green Bay Packers are insatiable for Green Bay Packers news. It's why there are umpteenth podcasts about the Green Bay Packers. It's why you'll read every single article that is out there, maybe except for that one site, which we have determined is not reliable or credible when it comes to Packers news. But so I think Packers fans would actually eat it up, even if they thought that, oh, we don't want the world in on what's going on there. We want to protect the sanctity of Lambeau Field. We don't need the extra attention because we're still one of the most popular teams in the world in the NFL. I still think Packers would eat up their team being on Hard Knocks. Am I wrong?
No, no, you're not wrong at all. Oh, 1,000% Packers fans would tune in, watch that bad boy live. They could put that thing on at 11 p.m. Central. And a bunch of people are diving in live because they want to see it right as it comes.
And live streaming reaction to it. There's a podcast to the Hard Knocks.
How many teams have not been on Hard Knocks? Is there a lot?
Quite a bit.
Because is this going to be like Brazil where, hey, we don't want to go. Oh, you're going. You know?
I mean,
are they going to change the rules with Hard Knocks to say, all right.
I doubt it. I mean, it seemed like kind of going back to 2021 when the Cowboys ended up on it for the second or third time, I can't remember, they were having trouble. It doesn't seem like they've been having trouble getting teams to agree as of late.
Last year, I know the problem was they said the Jets are it and the Jets fought it tooth and nail is basically the issue, but they ended up losing it because that's part of the deal.
You want to get paid the money? Guess where a lot of this money in the NFL comes from? Media rights deals like the ones they cut with HBO.
Packers fans, will you watch Hard Knocks with the Chicago Bears? And I suppose there are a lot of people out there who already watch the show pretty religiously, although I think the numbers had gone down. At one point, Gabe, we had tried to track what the audience was per year. I believe they went back up last year just because of all of the intrigue that was surrounding the New York Jets, but I could be wrong on that. Will you watch Hard Knocks and watch the rival Chicago Bears as the rest of the NFL world kind of wraps their arms around them? And we're just saying this is what happens every year. All of a sudden, there's a whole new sect of people who want the team that is featured on Hard Knocks to have success. Hard Knocks is, whether you want to believe it or not, good for business. Will you watch the Chicago Bears on Hard Knocks this season? We got a very busy day here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We've got Jason Wilde coming up next, followed by Craig Karmazin. Stick around. We roll on right after this.
X-Golf.
Jen.
X-Golf at American Family Field is the place to go hang out during a Brewers game. It's a great place that I go hang out on non-game days, but new this year, you can book your sim time and purchase your single game tickets all in the same spot just at that Brewers single game tickets website. You can get great food and beverage options, views of Bernie Slide, and more. They've got some great ticket packages available, so make sure you check that out. Also, if you're hanging out at X-Golf American Family Field, whether it's a game day or not, if you're playing a regular round of golf and you make a hole-in-one, you make an ace, you and somebody else get to go down Bernie's Slide. What a hole-in-one contest going on right now at X-Golf at American Family Field. Find out more at X-Golf, amfamfield.com.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
We're putting it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Go ahead and weigh in on this. Will you watch the Bears on Hard Knocks this fall? Dave weighing in saying, I will not subscribe to anything Chicago Bears aside from Green Bay trucking them on the field. The Packers should have a documentary on beating the Bears' brains in for the last decade, though. That would never get old and have a lot of viewers. Jason, good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm sold the wrong guy for this topic.
Do you watch Hard Knocks?
I love Hard Knocks.
Really?
Yeah, I do as well. Yeah. But, you know, I, as a storyteller by trade, I always think it's good to, like, see the way that they develop the segments and develop the stories as the season goes on. So it's more of, like, film study for me. It's really, what we're getting at here, Jason.
Yeah, and for me, and obviously Chewy knows this, like, my job is to try and tell our listeners, our readers, our fans, the stories that you can't get just from watching the game. At least that's how I've always perceived my role. And so, you know, I do that by covering players like Chewy and Tausch and telling stories based on those conversations. But, you know, what Hard Knocks gets, because it's a league-sanctioned endeavor, is all the behind-the-scenes stuff that I never get to see. Like, you know, in 2003 or 4, I was able to sit in the offensive line meeting room because I was doing a piece on the not just how good that group was, which I would argue rivaled the Lombardi era offensive line, but also the dynamic of them. And it remains probably my favorite story to be in there and actually be able to experience not only observing, but them turning on me, the grief that they give each other, the camaraderie that was there. And that's what we get with Hard Knocks, right? Like, you know, we talked with Anthony Campanile, the Packers' new linebackers coach, and he obviously had that very memorable speech to his guys in season, the Hard Knocks in season edition with the Dolphins last year. Now, that's not a completely accurate depiction of how he coaches, but it certainly captured how fiery he is. But that's the kind of stuff that I am most interested in large part because I don't have unfettered access to it. I'm sure had I gone to work for the Packers, I would have gotten fired because I would have never been able to work under those conditions. But it would have been great to have that kind of access and tell those kind of stories. So I'm all in on Hard Knocks, especially now with the Bears. But listening to Dave's text, like, again, I've gotten a lot of grief for this, but I don't want to see the Packers keep beating their brains in. I don't want Matt LaFleur to be undefeated against the Bears. I just don't think that's that interesting to me. So I hope Caleb Williams is really good, and I hope Jordan Love versus Caleb Williams is the 2020s to 2030s version of Brady and Manning, that there's a rivalry. And if you're a Packers fan, you certainly hope Jordan Love is the Brady part of that. But I think seeing the Bears and the Packers both be good at the same time would be freaking awesome. And we'll see if that actually occurs.
Jason, who was the O-line coach?
Campy.
Oh, God.
Your former teammate.
Yeah.
Now, why do you say that?
Because he thought he had a great body. His body was hideous, and he always walked around the locker room naked.
Oh, thank you for that.
Everyone was clothed in the meeting room.
Was he? I mean, he's a piece of work, right, Jason?
It's been really fun because I've gotten to cover, you know how offensive line coaches are. So we had Larry Bechtold.
Larry's, yeah. Go ahead.
And RIP to Larry.
Yes.
And Campy, and now it's Luke Butkus, but before that it was Steno. And so, you know, it's usually the offensive line coaches and the special teams coordinators that are your colorful guys.
Yeah.
And that's probably been the case for the majority of my time covering the team.
So quick story about Campy. Jason, remember how they used to feed us in the locker room, right? They'd feed us way back in the day.
They'd get catering in on Friday.
So Campy would just always walk around and like, dude, just put a towel on. We're eating, right? So one time he takes a brownie, unbeknownst to everyone, rolls it up, sticks it between his butt cheeks, and then starts running. Remember where the old shower was, Jason? You got to go all the way across the locker room, and it was wide open. And he's like,
I do.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And he drops it right in front of, I think, the receivers, grabs it, takes a bite of it, and the whole locker room just explodes with, I don't know if it was laughter or disgust.
Probably a combination of both.
He was born to be an O-line coach, yeah. And Jason's right. They're all left of center or right of center. They're whacked. So
off center for sure.
Jason, did Tucker Kraft have his surgery yet?
Yes. Yeah, he had. Now he's behind the LaFleur Zach Tom schedule. They both tore their pectoral in early to mid April. So we talked to Tucker last week. So that was the previous OTA. So that would have been like May 21st, 22nd, something like that. And he had said he'd had surgery 10 days earlier. So somewhere around May 12th, he had his surgery.
Okay. And it's 8 to 12?
Well, that's what they say. But, you know, again, I go back to what Bulaga said when I broke the news to him that Zach Tom had torn his pec. That, like, that's great that that's the timeline they give for you being able to return. But for an offensive lineman and for a tight end, mm-hmm. you both do blocking, and the amount of pushing you do with force against 300-pound dudes, that ain't the injury you want to be coming back from during training camp. So, you know, that's – and I will admit, it did sound to me like an aggressive, optimistic timeline. Now, if Zach Tom – or Tucker Kraft for that matter, but if Zach Tom's not ready for the opener on September 6th in Brazil, you know, you're going into your first game without your, I would argue, second best offensive lineman behind Elgton Jenkins and a guy who's, you know, moving into the top tier of right tackles. And so, you know, I think it's interesting, and this was a guy that I was hoping to talk to the other day when we had access and I didn't get him. I think that's probably why they signed Andre Dillard. If you remember, they signed him right, you know, in mid-April, and I'm guessing they signed a guy who has started games, is a former first-round pick, hasn't really found a rhythm with the Eagles or with Tennessee previously in his career. I think they signed him thinking, all right, we better have somebody that really can start at right tackle if Tom's not ready, because, you know, Jordan Morgan is a first-round pick. Certainly he'd be an option, but maybe they, you know, they're not so sure that he'll be ready right away to start as a rookie in the very first game. They've got Royce Newman still on the roster who started a lot of games, but I get the sense that they would prefer not to have to start Royce Newman at all. So it'll be interesting to see what they do if Tom's not ready. If he's ready, then they've got some depth and they feel pretty good about what their options are if something happens in season.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us. We'll talk to you again soon. Have a good one.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. Wilde and Tausch is on right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on ESPN Milwaukee. We've got Craig Karmazin coming up next. Want to talk to him about the Milwaukee Brewers. Obviously, they just won 3 out of 4 against the Chicago Cubs. But there was an interesting statement by Jeff Passan yesterday that got our eyebrows up. We'll talk to Craig about that right after this.
Guys, I'm telling you, of course, the only place to go if you're making those plans to propose to that special someone in your life, the only place to go for that diamond engagement ring is the Jewelry Center. Best place to shop for diamond engagement rings, of course. That's where I went when I proposed to my wife. I kind of had an idea. The team at the Jewelry Center pointed me in the right direction to get that perfect ring. Maybe you don't have an idea. Go to a Pinterest board. See if there's anything there. Bring those ideas into the Jewelry Center, and that great team is never going to do you wrong. They're going to make sure that you're pointed in the right direction. And the other great thing about the Jewelry Center, the options that they have. Whether you're looking for naturally mined diamonds, lab-grown diamonds, whatever you're in the market for when it comes to that engagement ring, the Jewelry Center has it. Check out the inventory at any one of their 3 locations, Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. I prefer the Greenfield store. Other ones fantastic as well. Or shop online, shoptjc.com, and make sure when you head over to the Jewelry Center, you tell them that Gabe and Chew sent you.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
I am so impressed with Jordan Love, you know, and I think, like, Packers fans should feel so good about Jordan Love.
Fridays with Mo.
I think Rodgers never spoke out and was direct, and Giannis should be praised for being clear so that everyone knows, hey, Giannis told the organization what he wanted.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's
that time of the week. Every Friday we talk to Craig Karmazin. Craig, how's your week going? How are you doing today?
It is fantastic because I get to talk to you all. And you're on time today.
Yeah, sort of.
Thanks for noticing.
Are we, though?
We are, yeah. I would say we're...
Kind of?
Yeah. But, okay. I mean, Craig, I've listened to your show on Sunday. I don't know if you can really talk to anybody about being on time.
Glass houses and whatnot?
Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
We got a lot of stuff we want to get to you today with you today, Craig. So let's get right to it. Jeff Passan was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, and this was not Milwaukee Brewers specific, but it was Milwaukee Brewers adjacent. Take a listen to what Jeff Passan had to say about small market teams.
Anytime that somebody stays with a small market team for the entirety of his career, like, goodbye me. Not just goodbye me because I'm someone who grew up in Cleveland and lives in Kansas City now, but I understand the disparity in sports between the large market and the small market teams. And the fans in smaller markets sometimes feel like the big business of sports is conspiring against them. So when Bobby Witt Jr. went out and signed a 12-year, almost $300 million contract to remain with the Kansas City Royals this offseason. It's like, hey, by the way, these small market teams can pay guys. If they don't, it's just because they chose not to.
So, Craig, they were obviously talking about a different team. They were talking about the Pittsburgh Pirates and Paul Skeens, I believe. But it was interesting, and it raised our eyebrows. Do you agree that small market teams like Milwaukee can pay players like a Corbin Burns, like a Josh Hader, if they want to, they just choose not to?
Of course. Yeah, of course. Everyone has the decision to do it. I mean, look what the Milwaukee Bucks are doing. Bucks have the fourth highest payroll in the NBA this year, right? So it really is how you want to run your business. The Bucks have decided that a championship is more important than running a profitable business. And so the Bucks lose a lot of money every year. And I think the belief is that the equity value of the team is continuing to grow and that the most important thing is winning a championship. Whereas, you know, and they're, I think in the largest owners of the team, there's enough wealth where they're just like, we don't mind losing tens and tens of millions of dollars that we have to personally put back into the team every year to try to be successful. But most owners, even if they're billionaires, right, don't want to lose $100 million a year. But it's absolutely their choice if they want to run a team as a viable business that's sustainable, or if they're running it as kind of a hobby where they want to win and are willing to lose money because they feel like eventually that'll get it paid back when they sell the team.
So how should Brewers fans feel hearing that being said yesterday? And that is a reality, because it feels like maybe there's a narrative out there of, like, again, like Passan said, Major League Baseball is conspiring against the small market teams because of the way that the structure is and the way that the salaries are. And a team like Milwaukee could never pay Corbin Burns. How should fans feel when they come to the realization that if Adonazio wanted to, he could keep some of these guys in Brewers uniforms?
Well, again, it is against the smaller market teams, right? So other larger market teams can pay guys and not have to lose $50 million a year. So I think what Mark Attanasio and his leadership team have proven is that you could put a super competitive team and a winning team out there every year that's as good as the teams that are paying double in payroll. So I think if you're a fan of the team, why do you want people to pay more just to pay more, right? And I think the Brewers, I mean, you got to trust what they're doing, right? I mean, the team's consistently winning. And I don't know how you could argue with their way of doing things.
But why is the loyalty card different from the players and managers to the franchises? Seems to me like franchises get a pass.
I mean, I agree, right? Like, I don't know why everyone's killing Craig Counsell for leaving the team, but no one you know what I mean? Like, I think you should have the right, especially when your contract's up, to go to another team. So, I mean, I think it's totally fair for a player or a coach or whatever to want to leave if a team's not going to pay them the same or treat them the same.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you're going to be the... hey, I'm one of you guys. I know what it's like. I know what it takes. I'm one of you guys. And then you deuce. Like, yeah, no, you're going to get booed when you return. That's just the way it works. Yeah, does Craig Counsell have the right to go and, you know, chase the money with the Chicago Cubs after his contract expires, Craig? Absolutely.
But he didn't chase the money.
But
he could have had the he could have the same money from the Brewers. He could have more money from the Mets. You could have, it's not chasing the money. And that's, again, it's like we talked about with Hader. Like, you could look at it as in a simplistic way and you could try to fit it to your narrative, but he wasn't chasing the money. That's not why he left.
Yeah. And Dak Prescott doesn't play for the money either. When you leave and accept the highest contract in the history of any manager in the history of baseball, you chase the money a little bit, which, again, is fine. You want to be a legend at the bank, and multiple things can be true, Craig. Like, Mark Attanasio can be cheap for not retaining Craig Counsell and coming, you know, coming to the table with a more reasonable offer before the contract expired. Absolutely, there's blame to be on that side. But also, like, to your point, Chewy, of why do franchises get a pass?
Because
the franchise isn't going anywhere. Like, if I'm a Brewers fan or I'm a Bucks fan, like, my loyalty is to that team because that's the team I'm always going to be rooting for. I mean, yeah, some people have changed and root for players more than franchises at this point, but like, as long as the Brewers are playing at that ballpark, as long as the Bucks are playing at Fiserv Forum, like, I'm not going anywhere. I got to root for that team. I got to change, you know, whatever narrative I'm going to spin because that's my favorite team and I want to root for them.
No, I get it.
And I'm not, yeah, and I'm not saying don't boo Craig Counsell, manager of the Cubs. I'm just saying when the video plays, cheer him one time for everything he did. And now, then you can move on, and he's the manager of the Cubs, and then you can go to start booing him.
Oh, so we think that it was a calculated decision by the Milwaukee Brewers to play that video because it would appear as though they were offering a moment for you to cheer Craig Counsell, and then you could boo him the rest of the series. But in reality, it was a concerted effort. It provided a perfect opportunity for the entire stadium that day to come together and boo. Right? Like, as opposed to waiting for there to be a pitching change or waiting for there to be an opportunity and then kind of all getting on the same page. It was like, here you go, silver platter. We are taking whatever it was, 30 seconds, 45 seconds, 1 minute to feature Craig Counsell so that the stadium could come together and boo him. We think it was calculated.
Whatever the, no, I think it took a lot. You know, Mark Attanasio grew up in the Bronx. Mark Attanasio is a street fighter. Mark Attanasio has, you know, grinded to get everywhere he's gotten in his career. Mark Attanasio doesn't like to back down, especially when it's someone who is his enemy. He owns a British football team where fans regularly fight in the stands. So all of that being said, Mark Attanasio was not, and by the way, Craig Counsell, not only, you know, did he leave, but Craig Counsell, as you'd expect, was trying to take Brewers coaches and trying to do, you know, the things that you would expect someone would do when they leave, right? So Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Counsell in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit because it took him a long time to come to that conclusion. It was not something he initially, through the pain of the breakup, was going to do, but I think it was an incredibly classy move and a great job by Mark Attanasio playing that video at American Baseball.
So,
because, by the way, it's not like, oh, some video guy decided to do it or some executive, you know, that video is not being played unless Mark Attanasio is basically hitting play on the button.
Right, but if we just said that we think it was a calculated move, it's not as altruistic as you're making it seem.
No, because that
was Mark's call. I think I like Mark a little bit more right now.
Do you know
now.
What I'm saying, Craig? Like, we think it was calculated
saying,
to give the fan base a moment to go ahead and get their frustrations out.
Yep, and whether that was part of what he knew would happen or not, it showed a lot of class to be able to do that because I don't think that was easy given the pain and the difficulty emotionally of having someone who's that close to you then on the other side for the Chicago Cubs. So whether he was hoping or knew that would happen, you got to give him a lot of credit for actually playing that video.
But, I mean, go back to Brett, and if Aaron came here, why are you booing him? You didn't want him anymore. He didn't want to stop playing football. What the hell did you boo him for? Why doesn't the organization, because if Aaron came back here, Gabe, there'd be a percentage that booed him.
Sure.
Right? But why? Why?
But Brett got booed.
You didn't want him anymore.
But Brett got booed.
Because he manipulated his way to Minnesota.
Correct.
Who cares? He's not good enough to play
for
you. I
do, because you want to stick it to me. And he made this, like, the Brett's a little more complicated.
I'm just saying, why
Brett retired?
Aren't
Brett gave them the
franchises held to the same standard as the players?
Because fans aren't logical.
They never are.
Fans aren't logical.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I kind of want
to never are,
to
and
say
I think
that's what
thing,
you wanted from me. We're not logical, Chew. We don't
and
think
the
rationally.
The far thing is, what Gabe said is right. I mean, he was very intentionally not just trying to leave Green Bay, but trying to become a Minnesota Viking.
He was not trying to leave Green Bay. No, you're wrong there. He wasn't trying to leave Green Bay. He wanted to come back, and they showed him the
door. No, he did not.
Do you,
He did not. I mean,
I had spies in the room.
Right, but as did I. And what he did was he said he was retired, and they gave him a date, and they were like, "You got to tell us you're coming back. And if you're telling us after this date, we're going to move on." And he just wanted to show that he was tougher than them. So they, you know, the date passed. They told Aaron Rodgers he's going to be the starting quarterback. Then Brett came back and said, "Hey, I want to come back now." And they
But you don't want him.
Well, so what? Could he have come back week 8? Like they had set a date and they followed through on what their commitment was. Brett knew what the plan was, and he obviously decided to wait until after the date to tell them that he was ready to play.
Are you trying to tell me, Chew, you wouldn't understand why people booed Aaron Rodgers if he was back at Lambeau Field?
I get it. And the problem is this. We don't know the whole story. You know, we think we do, but we don't. Like the whole Brett thing, you don't know.
Sounds like you might know some stuff.
I know what went down. I know how it went down. And I agree with you, Craig. There was a date that they set and he came past it. But eventually, you didn't want him on your team. So is he supposed to retire? They tried to bribe him.
Well, 100% they tried to bribe him.
Yeah, they tried to bribe him.
But then they traded him to New York.
Sure.
And everybody was fine with him in New York. And then he decided, I wanted to stick it to the Packers. And the unintended consequence of wanting to stick it to the Packers franchise is guess who else you're sticking it to? Packers fans.
Yeah.
So then...
So if Aaron wins... Hold on. If Aaron wins a Super Bowl this year, do we have a right to be mad at him?
I will bet...
No.
Whatever amount of money you want to bet.
That they can't win the
Super
Bowl.
That they're not winning the Super Bowl.
But I'm just saying, if they did.
Gabe feels very strongly about this. I prompted him on this the other day, and I said, what makes you think they can't win the Super Bowl? I said, Aaron Rodgers, you know, he always comes back, especially
Gabe thought the Bucs were beating Indiana in 4. Okay.
I thought Giannis was coming back.
Yeah, that's true. That is the great equalizer.
Yes. Dude, I'm with you, Jen. Gabe, how are you so convinced? Like, Zach Wilson was terrible, and they won 7 games. Like, if Aaron Rodgers is an above-average quarterback, which is certainly feasible, you know, 2 years removed from back-to-back MVP years, like, why can't they win?
So there's a number of things going on there, Craig. A, the Jets are a bleep show. The fact that they're trying to replace Nathaniel Hackett without replacing Nathaniel Hackett, like, there are clearly things going on behind the scenes that make them a pretty dysfunctional organization. And then... Aaron being the biggest hypocrite in the world and then trying to defend himself with the, hey, we got to be more serious about winning. We got to get rid of the distractions. If it has nothing to do with winning, why are we doing it? And then doing a lot of things that had nothing to do with winning this offseason.
Yep. Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
I don't think
that really works against you in a big spot.
I don't think that he's dedicated to winning, Craig. He's going against his own words. I don't think he's dedicated to winning. I think he's 40 years old, coming off an Achilles injury. He wasn't broken even before the broken thumb. It's not like he was playing great with the Packers before he broke his thumb in his last full, you know, healthy games that we saw. He's a couple years removed from his best football. I just don't think that they're in a position to succeed. I think that division's tougher than everybody thinks, and I don't think the Jets are even making the playoffs.
I think that's a tough division.
Oh, my God. We need to clip this. Yeah, we need to clip this for Jets Twitter. I feel like Aaron just hearing that clip might make him the MVP.
Last thing I have for you this morning, Craig, I got a little notification in my inbox last week that said, get ready, the ACT is right around the corner, and it is in fact next Saturday. Next Saturday, I will be marching my little booty down to a local high school, sitting in a chair with my number 2 pencils all sharpened and ready to go to take the ACT, which is, of course, my punishment for losing, 2 years ago now? Was it 2 years ago that I lost? So I just wanted to let you know that we are getting closer to me following through with losing the bet, paying off the bet of me taking the ACT. And I just wanted to make sure that I understood all of your rules and regulations for me taking the ACT. I am not allowed to just go down and go C on the Scantron.
If you get a 24 or worse, you got to take it again.
What the hell?
Yeah!
I couldn't get a 24 when I was flipping 20 years old.
Chewy took it twice and couldn't add up to it before.
Good point.
Combined.
Craig, one more question for you while we're talking ACT. We had a company-wide meeting yesterday, right?
Yes.
Did you call me out because you were like the teacher that didn't think I did my homework in the beginning of the meeting in front of everyone?
No, I was just, for all the people who were not in person, I just wanted to see if you could hear me on the mic. So I just happened to see that you were one of the people there.
Told you.
So, such a lie. He's a liar. He's a liar. Because he thinks I just turn it on to whatever it is with my phone and then I walk away. Right?
Never would have considered that. To be fair, when he commented on you, your big old face just popped up out of nowhere. So for him to react to, oh, there's Chewy, I don't think is that crazy.
How many people were doing it virtually, though?
Was your face the right orientation?
There were only like 5 people doing it virtually.
My face wasn't on there.
Like 70 people in person. Yeah, and then you put your face on. You were like driving in a Jeep and like clearly like with the top down and not
the guy
able to hear anything.
Zoomed into his. You saw that, right, Craig?
Date.
The guy who zoomed into his court date. He had a suspended license.
For a suspended license.
And the judge was like, "Are you in a car? Are you driving a car?" He was like, "Hold on a minute, I'm pulling into the parking spot." The judge was beside himself. He was like, "I can't believe that just happened."
I did see the guy who said he was not a cat, though. That guy can't watch without laughing.
That was very good. You should do one of those calls with us, those all company calls, and you should just put the cat filter on.
And just be like, I am not a cat.
All right, Craig,
but
we appreciate it.
I was going to say something.
But also, cat did get eliminated in 5 last night, and do we like the fact that there's like 2 weeks before the NBA finals?
I don't like it. It's too long.
Not great.
Too long. Because now I want to turn my attention to baseball full time.
Right. Like, is it really like, because we're worried that like Jim Gaffigan was like scheduled to be in like an arena in Dallas. Like, I mean, I know they have to coordinate like these buildings and they're really busy. But, and I just have to think there's a better way than this.
Why can't every other series is mobile? Like, these are pretty big series, the Eastern and Western Conference Finals, and they're mobile as to when they start. Why can't they be a little bit more
and
mobile
hockey,
with the finals?
You mean fluid? Like,
yeah.
I mean, hockey's the same way. Hockey's moving, but I don't get it because it's not like it's like one venue that everyone's booked their flights for years. And like, I really don't get it. So, but either way, I actually think it's probably better. It allows players to rest and heal because it is such a, you know, a grueling postseason with best of 7 series. So I guess it's a positive. But,
great. So we'll all get to see Kristaps Porzingis in the finals. Wonderful. And great job on the cat segue there, by the way, going from the cat video to cat Carl Anthony Towns. All right, Craig, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Just wanted to make sure I got you off schedule since you were so good on schedule. See ya.
What a jackwagon.
Get out of here.
If you love sports betting, you need to make your way to the sportsbook at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee. It has everything a sports fanatic could want and more. I loved listening to the afternoon show KBN yesterday coming live from Pottawatomie's sportsbook because it's such a great spot. A video wall over 2,000 square feet. The kitchen, that's their new restaurant. It's got a VIP deck that you can rent out, a broadcast booth, a first-class bar, and seating for over 200 people. So if you want to watch those games that we were just talking about a few moments ago, no matter what your favorite sport is, you can do it at the Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Sportsbook. The new era of sports betting is here at Pottawatomie, so get in on the action.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Look,
you take Jesus in the presence out, and it's not even in the top 10.
Well, I mean, if you take sex out of the anniversary, then that's not that fun either.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It started with a whisper.
Shout out to everybody watching on the YouTube stream who's getting a nice shot of Chewy's legs. It's just his thigh to his care, it is.
I have a hater contract. I don't have to work the last segment before every break.
You're dictating your usage?
Good Talk to my grief. Agent. Keeps me fresh for the start of the hour.
It is just his legs. That's all you can see on the stream. His knees are lining up perfectly with the microphone. All right, guys, get your dialing fingers ready. 800-990-3776. It is time for us to give away two tickets to Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg will be performing at Pottawatomie Amplified. That's a new concert series kicking off at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Legendary rap, film, and media icon Snoop Dogg will be performing on June 15th, and here is your chance. We will take the fourth caller right now at 800-990-3776. The fourth caller wins two tickets to Snoop Dogg at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel's new concert series, Pottawatomie Amplified. Call us now.